Thy mercy, my God, is the theme of
welcome, friends, to another broadcast of Morsels for Zion's Poor.
The very first of the seven things which are an abomination in the sight of God is a proud look. The very last of these is he that soweth discord among brethren. The first causes the last. Only by pride cometh contention. Jude admonishes the children of God to earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Yet this contending must never be done with contentiousness, lest we be swallowed up with pride and any supposed benefit of contending be overturned. Be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Paul goes on to say that this is the very mind which was in Christ Jesus, when he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. It is impossible that brethren shall always be in agreement on every point of doctrine and practice. The Lord has dealt to each of his children a measure of faith, which is not the same measure. Along with that measure of faith is a measure of understanding and a diversity of thought. Paul points this out to the Romans, concluding with this principle: let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. The unity which the children of God are exhorted to endeavor to keep is not one of rote uniformity, where everyone is a clone of each other, but rather where each one exhibits the mind of Christ in seeking the benefit of the other. This cannot be achieved by the power of the flesh, nor by the strongest bonds of religion, but will only be seen in its beauty as the Lord works in his people, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Differences of opinion cannot destroy this sort of unity, because it is not built upon the fickle grounds of human agreement, nor does it depend on the approving glances of those who compare themselves among themselves and find satisfaction in mutual approval and orthodoxy. The only conformity which the sons of God are exhorted to seek after is to be conformed to the image of Christ and to not be conformed to the world. True unity is not destroyed by confrontation, rebuke, or instruction which may run contrary to one's present state of mind. This is demonstrated in Paul's rebuke of Peter when Peter was guilty of dissimulation with the Jews. Though this was a forceful rebuke on the part of Paul, there is no evidence that it was not given in humility, nor that it was not received in the same fashion by Peter. Paul had no ulterior motive of self-promotion, and sought nothing but benefit, and considered his own advice: brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Afterwards, Peter had nothing but the highest regard for Paul, as he wrote in one of his epistles, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. Those who take offense at the word of God when it is spoken in love and truth are no different than those who desire to stir up strife among brethren by majoring their teaching on doubtful disputations and endless genealogies. In David's prayer to the Lord, he desires to be delivered from the foot of pride. I believe he has reference to those who meant to do him harm. He speaks of wicked enemies whose desire for domination caused them to hate his position as king. It is this same foot of pride which moved the Jews to seek the destruction of the Lord Jesus Christ, which ultimately fulfilled the ordained purpose of God. Him being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, ye have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain. We read of this foot of pride again in the Psalms. Yea, mine own familiar friend, in whom I trusted, which did eat of my bread, hath lifted up his heel against me. A prophecy which clearly has reference to Judas, since the Lord reiterates it. That the scripture may be fulfilled, he that eateth bread with me hath lifted up his heel against me. The proud look which the Lord hated is that which he ordained against his only begotten Son, as he was betrayed and ultimately delivered to his tormentors. Is this not a demonstration of the fact that he was tempted in all points like as we are? Is this not a manifestation that he has borne our sins and carried our sorrows? Is he not acquainted with grief as he himself was wounded in the house of his friends? The Lord Jesus Christ willingly subjected himself to the foot of pride, that he might destroy the same. David also prayed, "Let not the hand of the wicked remove me." The Lord Jesus has granted his request and has hidden his sheep in the palm of his hand. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand.
If you would like a free transcript of this broadcast, email us at forthepoor@windstream.net.